opinions of the staff and management of Tricepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tricepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's Thursday already. Could you imagine? Tomorrow's Casual Friday. And we've got a great show planned for Casual Friday. Since we took off last Friday, we've got a lot of great stuff to talk about this week. So you're not going to want to miss Casual Friday. Okay, we have a great show planned for you today. First hour, Dr. Bryant Stanford is coming on to do the show that we had planned on doing a couple weeks ago about lab test reference ranges. What is normal? What is healthy and optimal? Later in the show, a world-class strongman and powerlifter, drug-free, and he is also a firefighter in New York, is going to come on. We're going to talk about the responsibility of first responders, firefighters, to maintaining cardiovascular strength and health, overall strength and health and conditioning, just like an athlete. And so that should be an interesting show that I've wanted to do for some time, specifically for the firefighters who listen to Superhuman Radio. Okay. Bryant Stanford is a syndicated columnist, and he comes on the show and gives us his wisdom. How are you doing, Brian?
Hey, Carl. Very good. Thank you.
I wanted to have you on this show because you and I sing from the same hymn book when it comes to reference ranges that are used in lab tests by physicians, because quite often when you go to the doctor and he tests you for this or that, you'll say, you know, you have symptoms that require this testing, and then the doctor will just dismiss it and say, well, you were normal.
Mm-hmm.
And normal is a very, very broad range, isn't it?
Well, in this country, since half of us die of heart disease, and half of those are sudden deaths in which there's absolutely no indication of a problem until you drop over dead.
Right.
That's quite normal in this country. With that as a reference point, I don't want to be normal. I want to be healthy.
Right.
Somebody tells me I'm normal, I know I'm in trouble.
There you go. I like that. That's a good attitude. All right. So let's talk about lab tests in particular. Obviously, the country is really in a challenging place right now because of insulin resistance, because of type 2 diabetes, which is combined or in concert with obesity and its other maladies like cardiovascular disease, dyslipidemia, the list goes on and on, high blood pressure. So let's just look at glucose levels for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
The reference ranges go as high as 110, where a doctor will say to his patient, you're fine, you're normal, because he's 106 or 100. What do you think about that?
Well, it's interesting, Carl. Actually, most practicing physicians will go beyond that. And I, in other words, I think maybe the place to start in the argument is how is the physician looking at things and how is the patient looking at things? The patient, of course, wants to be told that I've taken tests on you and the tests are fine and you're healthy. That's really what the patient wants to hear. And so maybe it's a blood glucose test. And let's go beyond that range. Let's go beyond the range of like 70 to 110 that's considered normal.
Right.
And let's say your results come out to be like 120. Okay, so the results come out to be 120. Now, from the doctor's perspective, you have a bit of a dilemma, okay? You're a bit above the normal range, but here's where the decision-making comes in on the part of the doctor. All right, you're above the normal range. I don't really like these results. However, the question becomes, what do I do about it for you? Do I put you on medication, or do I not put you on medication? And this is maybe the most important thing for your listeners to understand, that when the doctor gets into decision-making about your clinical tests, what the doctor is really evaluating is, do I have a clinically significant situation here, or do I not? And oftentimes results like this 120 blood glucose level falls into what I would call a gray zone, where it's not clearly clinically significant. In other words, there's not a red flag there. There's not a whistle going off that tells the doctor, okay, I can clinically diagnose you with a situation on the basis of this test that is going to necessitate you getting medication, all right? And that's the key factor. The doctor is always evaluating situations on the basis of to medicate or not to medicate. Uh-huh. Now here's where the rub comes in. If the decision is made not to medicate, then there needs to be follow-up, which is very rare in our society. There needs to be follow-up and an explanation given to the patient. But of course, this takes time, and we all know that when you get time with your doctor, it's limited to minutes at best.
Right.
And so what needs to be explained to the patient is, okay, your blood glucose is 120. I don't like that number. You are headed for trouble. You have not arrived yet. Therefore, I am not giving you a prescription that is necessary for a clinical condition. However, if you keep going in this direction, next year when you come in, you probably will have reached clinical significance. You will have a disease that will need to be medicated. I don't want you to go there. Therefore, let's take the following preventive steps to move you backward toward healthier levels. And this is the missing step. This is the missing step.
Is it because a doctor really can't prescribe the steps to take them back?
Well, it's just, it takes too long. I mean,
what's a physician going to do? He's going to say, okay, I want you to cut all starchy carbs out of your diet. I want you to eat more vegetables. I mean, how does he write that prescription? How does he prescribe?
He doesn't. And
that's where the problem is.
That's the problem. You've hit the nail right on the head. The physician doesn't. The physician just simply gives the feedback, your results are normal. In other words, you are not clinically significant. The unfortunate thing is the patient walks out of the office thinking, I've just been told I'm healthy. And it's far, far, far from the truth. And there are no steps being taken to intervene. At the best, the doctor might, and again, in fairness to the physician, we also have to be sensitive to the fact that the physician doesn't want the patient to worry, doesn't want the patient to fret, okay? So now you've got another double-edged sword here. So if I alert the patient that they're headed for trouble, but I don't really spend time with them to tell them how to avoid trouble, I'm not really helping them very much. So there's a tendency to gloss it over, you know, to put on the kid gloves and say something like, well, maybe your numbers are running a little high. Let's keep an eye on them. Well, doc, what does that mean? Well, don't worry. Your numbers are normal. Or in other words, you're just like all the other sick people who come in here who are headed for trouble. I mean, that's really what the message is. So, you know, if in some way we could have our insurance companies intervene and say, gee, we ought to be much more proactive in preventing these problems.
Really?
Because if that doctor could prevent one patient from becoming a type 2 diabetic, we would save tens of thousands of dollars in treatment over the next several decades. And a small investment now to educate that patient, to get them to lose a bit of body fat, particularly around the waistline, to reduce the whole insulin response that we've talked about, those kinds of steps would be incredibly valuable, but by and large, insurance companies won't pay for any kind of preventive intervention, but they will pay through the nose once you are diagnosed with a clinically significant problem.
But you know what I'm coming to learn? A lot of the insurance companies have relationships, financial investments in the companies that manufacture the pharmaceutical drugs and or the devices that people who are diabetic, I've thought long and hard about this. If I ran an insurance company, I'd want to be as profitable as possible, but at the same time, I'd want to be as competitively priced as possible. Insurance companies don't have to be competitively priced. If I was selling you aluminum siding or a car or anything, you can shop around and you can put it off and you can choose not to buy at all. But people can't put off and choose not to buy insurance. So we're hostages. And the insurance companies know that. So I actually believe, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I think it's a business model. I think that the insurance companies feel this way about it. People are willing to pay anything they can afford to pay to stay alive. No one is going to want to be without insurance. So how can we not only be as profitable as possible, as expensive as possible on top of it? Because that way we can get people to pay thousands of dollars every single month to us instead of just hundreds. And the ways to do that is to turn your nose up at these types of modalities that would ward off disease, but instead be the supplier of the things that are needed to keep people alive while they live with these diseases. And I have a feeling that it's going to come out someday that this is exactly how the insurance companies operate, because it makes no sense otherwise. It makes no sense otherwise why an insurance company would continue to put up with diseases that are avoidable and pay to treat them. It doesn't make sense to me, Brian. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. I've got lots of good questions for Dr. Brian Stanford. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Creatine is by far the most popular ergogenic supplement on the market today, bar none. What if I told you that there's an even more effective way to build explosive strength and that good old creatine was not the answer? Well, now there's Hypergain. Hypergain is completely safe and has zero side effects. In fact, AS Research is so convinced that Hypergain will change the way you feel about creatine that they're willing to give you a free 30-day supply just to prove it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Hypergain banner ad today. Hypergain. The case against creatine starts now. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to AgeForce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AgeForce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food, and Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See Eye Drops.
I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Dr. Brian Stanford. We're talking about lab test reference ranges. What is normal? What is optimal or healthy? As it pertains to blood sugar levels, recent research has shown, Dr. Stanford, that anything over 80, is that picograms a liter? Is that what that is?
Milligrams.
Milligrams a liter.
Milligrams per deciliter.
Deciliter. Okay, milligrams a deciliter. Actually, I'm talking about fasting blood sugar levels. Anything over 80 actually precipitates all the same damaging effects of somebody who has full-blown type 2 diabetes. It just does it at a slower pace, kind of like the way a drip, drip, drip on a stone will wear it out, but slower than a stream just running over it day in and day out. So
yeah, go ahead.
So, from your standpoint, what should we be looking for as individuals? Even though our physician may say, "Well, you know, you're normal," and here you are tipping 100 on fasting blood sugar. What should we be looking for? What's realistic?
Well, I think that we of course have a broad array of tests that our doctor's looking at, and blood glucose level is one of those, and that's what's so confusing to us as a general public. The place to start is having some familiarity with what the numbers mean and what an appropriate set of numbers are. You sit down with the average person, and I do this pretty regularly. Somebody will say something about, "I'm a little concerned with my cholesterol level," let's say. First question is, "Well, what is it?" "I don't know." "My doctor says it's a little high," or whatever.
Right.
So there's no context for people to ever deal with these situations. So when you throw out a number and say 80 is high, chances are very, very good that everybody who's listening doesn't have a clue what their blood sugar level is.
Right.
You know, even if they were at the doctor's yesterday, chances are very good that if the doctor shared with them and even gave them a copy of their lab results, they probably didn't look at it. And if they did look at it, it looks like a bunch of Portuguese on a page to them. It's a whole bunch of numbers and their reference points and so forth. And of course, those reference points are the exact things we're talking about, that unless there's something clinically significant, it's not red flagged. And so, so by and large, we have no orientation toward what is a healthy number. We only have an orientation toward what numbers get us into clinically significant situations.
And we understand that our physician can only treat us once we're in a clinically significant situation, right?
And yes, and that's the point. I mean, again, I'm kind of blasting physicians for not practicing preventive medicine, but I have to be fair on the other side of the coin too, is when that doctor looks at a patient, that doctor needs a dividing line, because by and large, physicians don't want to medicate you. I mean, if I'm your doctor, I do not want to put you on medication because of, all the side effects, the expense, and all the rest of it. So my goal would be to manage your care without medication, if I'm able to do that. So that means that decision to medicate really has to be based upon some pretty strong evidence. And so we have these dividing lines, whether they've been set up by the American Heart Association for blood pressure, the American Diabetes Association for blood sugar level, or whatever. We have these really, pretty strong dividing lines. This Rubicon River, where if it's over that, medication. If it's under that, no medication. And of course, that's that's the theme to this whole story over and over and over again, where our society has been taught from day one that you are healthy if you have no symptoms. In this, along that same path, I am healthy if I am not medicated. And so we just, even if we convince people to go to the doctor, which is a difficult thing to do, go and get checkups. You hear this all the time. What's the best thing I can do for my health? Go to the doctor. And if you're beyond like the age of 40, go every year and have a physical. That's fine if the doctor will deal with you in a preventive medicine way.
Bingo.
If the doctor deals with you purely from the level of what is clinically significant, you haven't gained a lot by getting that physical examination.
That's right. That's right. Let's talk about a couple other things. Do you believe that hemoglobin A1C is a more valuable test than fasting blood sugar levels?
Well, I think you have to put the total package together. It's in some ways a fasted blood sugar level is like a resting EKG. It tells you limited information, but it's helpful as a starting point. So if my blood sugar level is elevated, the first thing you have to wonder is every time you take a test, a blood test in particular, because of the biodynamics of how the body is always in a state of flux, plus you've got measurement error on top of that. So every time you look at that test result, what you have to say to yourself as the clinician is, this is a snapshot. This is this person at this exact moment that the blood sample was taken.
Right.
I can't be absolutely certain that the next day, it's the same value or whatever. So that's a starting point. So if a red flag comes up that tells me, okay, this blood sugar level is too high, then I'm not going to just take that at face value and make a diagnosis on it. What I'm going to do is, okay, now let's go to the next step. How well do you handle a sugar load? And so now we're going to go into a glucose tolerance test, and I'm going to give you a set amount of glucose to contend with, and then I'm going to see how well you deal with it. Now, with the A1C level, what's interesting about that is the fasted glucose level and the glucose tolerance test give us more of a sense of acutely how you're handling the situation. The A1C test, what it's telling us is that if the glucose is in high concentration in the blood long enough, it begins to combine with the proteins in the vascular system. And this is one of the ways that an elevated blood sugar level tends to destroy the vascular system and cause blindness, because it's destroying the vessels that feed the retina, for example, or it causes amputations and on and on and on. So the problem is, if the glucose level is high enough, long enough, it begins to combine with the proteins, and one of the proteins that is easy to mark and monitor is the protein that is part of hemoglobin. And
right.
So if the level has been elevated for a prolonged period of time, the hemoglobin combines with it, and that's basically what you're measuring. And so if my A1C level is up, what that suggests is now I have, excuse me, what that
that's
suggests is that now I have, my dogs.
We'll talk about blood pressure next.
Okay. So what we have then with the A1C level is, what that's suggesting is very simply that my glucose has been elevated over a long period of time. Aha. Uh-huh. Now I have very interesting pieces of the puzzle. You're showing acutely that you're not handling a glucose load very well, and you haven't been doing it for a prolonged period of time.
Right.
And so you piece all those together and says, we better do something.
Now, epidemiological studies pretty much are what dictates the reference ranges, correct?
Well, you have organizations like the American Heart Association that would look at large-scale studies like the Framingham study. Since 1948, what information has come out of the Framingham study as they have observed people, thousands of people for decades and decades and decades? And so, that's basically where the information is coming from, looking at huge population norms in terms of what's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Right, right, right. But the reality is, if the nation is sick and in trouble, then epidemiological studies will take into that, and they will move the curve. The area under the curve will change. So, for instance, the case in point testosterone levels in men over the past 15 years have continued to get lower and lower.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, 380 nanograms a deciliter used to be the threshold where men were considered to start, they were starting to get into the realm of hypogonadism, and below 380 was considered frank hypogonadism. Today, that number has been moved to 250. And this is not, and obviously, what is healthy and what is not healthy hasn't changed. But because of the shift in the male population to present with ever lowering and lowering levels of testosterone, the bottom of the reference range has shifted to accommodate that. Why would laboratories do that, Dr. Brian? Why wouldn't instead this be a shot across the bow to medical clinicians saying, wow, we've got a problem here that needs to be addressed in young men?
Yeah, well, there's lots of dialogue that's going on. Plus, the changes, the changes tend to take place over prolonged periods of time, if they take place at all. Now, this is an interesting change because it reminds me sort of the I'm from Pittsburgh, and so there was a time in the past when I was growing up with the steel mills where the air quality was just abysmal,
right.
You could just see the air. It was
right.
So,
you could,
was
yeah,
so
right.
Thick.
You could write your name. You could write your name in it, literally.
And Pittsburgh got tired of being branded this horrible, the worst city in the world to live in because of air pollution. And so I remember there were steps being taken to alter the scale.
Right.
So in other words, almost every day is an alert, right? Because we're in excess of some value. And so some group gets together and says, well, why don't we just change the value? Then we won't have such a critical problem. So now the value goes up, and the air pollution has to reach that value before there's alert. And if the value goes up, then you don't hit it as often. And this, in the same way, we have situations where, as you're saying, if the population is changing, we have a tendency to adjust. Well, look at obesity. Look at what we tolerate now with regard to obesity. We have an extraordinary portion of the population that's overweight, and a huge portion of those are obese. And a growing subset of the population is the morbidly obese. But I think the point that's being made is, as something becomes more commonplace, it becomes more acceptable because it's part of the norm,
right.
And that's always our reference point, is what is normal, not what is healthy. So if what is normal is always driving the bus, then it's pretty easy to make changes to sustain normality. But it's not easy if you're going to hold the line and say, no, this is not healthy. This is not a healthy situation. But there are too few people blowing the horn saying, we ought to be concentrating on what is healthy, not what is not clinically significant.
And you know what? It takes an educated consumer, it takes an educated person to be able to ask the right questions and make the right statements to their physicians in order for their physicians to start talking about it and for it to kind of make it upstream, in my opinion, because people don't understand these things. The idea that these reference ranges are shifting because of the overall changes in the population, changes that we don't want to embrace. So, all right, let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll pick it up with Dr. Bryant Stanford. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer too.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. Veryintensepleasure.com. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. Orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to mention that Muscle Mitch over at Orbit Nutrition has daily deals. Every day he's blowing something out. You got to check back daily to find out what he's blowing out. Go to orbitnutrition.com. Look on the left-hand side for the daily deals link. And you know what? Reach out to Mitch and let him know what you're looking for. Maybe you want something special. I'm sure that you can get it if you just get in touch with him. Anyway, we're talking with Dr. Brian Stanford. Want to mention also that now on the Superhuman Radio website, you can, in fact, stumble upon or add stumble upon to the social networking things that you share the show with. We now added the stumble upon widget. So check it out and let people know on stumble upon about Superhuman Radio. Dr. Stanford, is it uncharacteristic to ask your physician for a copy of your blood work, or should you just take the, you're normal, you're fine?
Well, most people don't. Some physicians make it a policy to automatically pass the information along. Others refuse to do it, and not for a bad reason. Their concern is that the information will confuse the patient and perhaps alarm them. You know, it wasn't long ago, Carl, that numbers like your blood pressure were never shared with the patient. Again, for the reason that the patient won't understand them, and the only outcome of giving a patient numbers will be bad. And that's where we got into the regular practice of normal versus abnormal, as opposed to really sitting down with the patient and saying, here are your numbers, and hear what they mean. You know, getting back to the conversation we were having about insurance, I think a lot of the things that we're talking about right now are driven by the fact that we tend to have health care insurance, and the premiums, at least in large part, this is, of course, changing daily with industry, but in large part, our employer pays the bills for the healthcare insurance. Okay, so that tends to get us off the hook. Plus, because insurance is paying for things that we have no idea what they are. In other words, I go to the doctor, my doctor says, you need a procedure. We never ask, what's that going to cost? Later on, we get a bill, or not a bill, but a rundown of what the costs were that the insurance company paid, and we find out, okay, that procedure cost $1,000. We shrug, because right. The insurance company pays for it.
Right.
If I'm paying out of pocket, you better believe I'm jumping up and down, just like the mechanic who charges me $1,000 to fix my car.
Right.
You know, I'm going to want to know up front, okay, you're telling me I need A, B, and C in my car. What's it going to cost? And I want an estimate before you do the work. Well, we don't care. And so, you know, all of this continues to promote this lackadaisical attitude about preventing anything, because in a very perverse way, and I know people don't think this way, but in a very perverse way, you could make the argument that, okay, I'm 50 years of age, and you know what? I've been really ripped off for 50 years because I've never had a major health problem. And I've been paying, along with my employer, we've been sharing my health care benefit costs for the last 30 years that I've been on the job. So I figure I've paid in $100,000 in health care fees, and I've never cashed in on them. I'm getting ripped off here. So if something major happens and it costs the insurance company $50,000, there's sort of a perverse kind of twist on that says, well, good. I'm glad I'm finally getting some of my money back.
Yeah,
and
right,
so,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, it all goes around and around and around in a very strange circle. Everything is in bed with one with the other. As you had indicated before, we got the pharmaceutical companies in bed with the insurance people. The insurance people are in bed with the medical establishment. The medical establishment is in bed with the insurer. And it goes round and round and round, and nothing improves. And what we know for sure is the health of the typical American is getting worse and worse and worse. No question.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I want to shift gears here for a minute about something else that you wrote about that was discussed on this show quite often, and that is diet sodas. You wrote about diet sodas recently in one of your more recent articles. Was that a result of the recent study that pointed to the fact that people who were most likely to drink diet sodas tended to still be obese?
Well, it goes beyond that, Carl. I think the jury is pretty well decided that diet drinks have implications for poor weight management. And there's been just tons and tons of research that have been done that have addressed this sort of paradoxical outcome, because, you know, as you recall, when NutraSweet came on the market, and, you know, prior to that we had other kinds of sweeteners, but they were banned, you know, because of tests on mice in which they fed the mice 10,000 pounds of this sweetener a day, it died under the weight of the sweetener. And
right.
So they banned it, and then it still went on in Europe and so forth, and now they're legal again. But when NutraSweet came along, it was declared literally to be the end of obesity as we know it.
Right.
And, of course, that hasn't been the case at all. In fact, it's been quite the opposite. We keep getting fatter and fatter and fatter. And there are lots of reasons for it. There are the behavioral reasons, of course, where people look at artificial sweeteners as an add-on. In other words,
right.
I'm going to keep drinking my three regular soft drinks a day, my regular Cokes and Pepsis, and I'm going to add three diet drinks for free on top of that. So,
right.
So there wasn't the exchange that we thought. But then, beyond that, physiologically, a lot of interesting research began to pop up with, what is the message you're giving your body when you take something that is supposed to address a physiologic need? In other words, I taste something sweet, my body senses that I'm meeting a need for incoming energy, incoming glucose, and all of the factors within the body that are set up to cope with that are then triggered to take effect.
Right.
Well, what happens over a long term when you keep fooling the body? The body doesn't like to be fooled, and the body will make adaptations. And so some of the adaptations that appear to be made by the body when you keep fooling it are that it no longer does a good job of interpreting when something is sweet legitimately with calories versus right. sweet illegitimately because of an artificial sweetener. Right. And so there's a lot of evidence that suggests when we do this over time, we lose touch with satiation. We're no longer satisfied because our body isn't buying it. Our body isn't saying, okay, you just ate a pound of M&Ms. That should satisfy you.
Right.
But it doesn't, because I'm not sure I really took in 10,000 calories right now. And so I just keep on eating. And, it goes on down the line. There are lots of other changes that are going on that suggest that, among other things, the irony with our epidemic of obesity is too much sugar and too much artificial sugar products combined that are raising our caloric intake dramatically.
Now, what about the linkage that you spoke about between diet sodas and stroke? I found that very interesting. Talk about that epidemiological study.
Yeah, there's a brand new study, Carl, that is attracting some attention. Of course, it's controversial. Epidemiological studies tend to be observational. I mean, they certainly take steps to use fancy statistical programs to control variables in the best way possible. But by and large, what you're doing, of course, with an epidemiological study is you're simply observing a large number of people and usually over a long period of time. And so the degree of control that you have there versus a laboratory study is quite different. And so oftentimes when a study comes out, and it's an epidemiological study, it's observational, and it makes an observation that seems contrary to popular belief, or it drops a bomb in your lap, then, all the critics come out of the woodwork and they begin to pull it apart in terms of the science of it. And so I think that's where we are with this. But the bottom line is, notwithstanding the controversy, there's some evidence suggesting that proliferation of diet drinks may increase the risk of stroke. And the study that was done was presented recently at a scientific conference. I'm trying to think if it was it was a conference associated with the study of stroke. That's what I'm recalling. But at any rate, the study showed a fairly substantial increase in the risk of stroke. Now, it's purely observational, and one of the criticisms of the study is, did you control for everything else in the universe that can contribute to stroke? And, of course, in an epidemiological study, since it's observational, you have limited control. But the suggestion is there. Okay, which then raises the question, if it's possible that drinking these diet drinks increases the risk of stroke, why? What's the mechanism? What's the mechanism that could be driving this bus?
Right.
Nobody has a clue at this point. I mean, some people have stepped up and said, well, we've been doing some research on the caramel coloring, and we're thinking it might be something like that is bringing it about. However, the interesting thing in this epidemiological study is that the people who were drinking the turbocharged soft drinks, the real Coke, the real Pepsi,
right.
and getting all of those useless calories, didn't have the same level of risk of stroke as the people who were not drinking those, but were drinking only the artificial sweetener drinks.
Wow.
So it suggests that there may be something in these drinks. Now, if we do the paper trail all the way back, we're beginning to get these little episodes of research that pop up here and there, like artificial sweeteners and Alzheimer's, for example, and all these little things that are coming up. And I think, probably not in my lifetime, but in the next 50 to 100 years, what we're going to find is that when artificial sweeteners were developed and put on the market, we were never, ever supposed to be consuming them in the quantities
Bingo.
That we are. And because they're everywhere.
The poison is in the dose.
Yes. And so it might be that when the original research was done and it was like, okay, on average people will drink 2 soft drinks a day, let's investigate that. Oh, no problem. But if they're doing that and eating all kinds of foods containing artificial sweeteners and on and on and on, chewing gums and the rest of it, and you're getting a super dose of it, then we don't know the implications yet. But I think, we have these observations, these preliminary kinds of findings that says, hey, there may be a problem there, and this is usually where the science starts, that triggers an interest in, let's go after this and let's see if there's a mechanism to explain this.
Yeah. Personally, I do not consume diet sodas because I feel like it's one less chemical that is not supposed to be in my body that I have to worry about being exposed to.
They're expensive too.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, really, for what you get.
Yeah, and so you know what? And I mean, I drink almost exclusively water and raw unpasteurized milk, but I consider milk a food product, not a drink. All right, let's take our last commercial break, and we'll wrap it up with Dr. Brian Stanford. When we're done with Dr. Stanford, we're going to have Jim Dugan on talking about firefighter fit, the responsibility of firefighters to stay in peak condition and strength and shape because their job needs them to. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Mike Mahler is one of the most sought-after teachers in the world of kettlebell training. Whether your goal is greater strength, speed, mental toughness, or fat loss, you'll come away with newfound knowledge. His seminars play to sold-out crowds. Now you can attend one of the most exciting, life-changing strength and conditioning seminars in the world. Seminars are scheduled for Denver, Tacoma, Washington, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Hawaii, and Miami. These will not be repeat engagements, so don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Go to MikeMahler.com today and book your seat. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. Space is very limited. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience of being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often, our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA-free. Go to forsportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance. And it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical. But it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once and you'll buy it again and again. veryintensepleasure.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Creatine is by far the most popular ergogenic supplement on the market today, bar none. What if I told you that there's an even more effective way to build explosive strength and that good old creatine was not the answer? Well, now there's Hypergain. Hypergain is completely safe and has zero side effects. In fact, AS Research is so convinced that Hypergain will change the way you feel about creatine that they're willing to give you a free 30-day supply just to prove it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Hypergain banner ad today. Hypergain. The case against creatine starts now.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yo, man.
Yo.
Open up.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
You better catch you.
My guest this hour, Dr. Brian Stanford. So, Dr. Stanford, getting back to the original reason for the interview, what do you want people to take away from the discussion about reference ranges in lab tests?
I think ask your physician the simple question anytime you get your lab results back. Is that number whatever it is, cholesterol, blood pressure, is that number healthy? Mm. Engage in a conversation with your doctor that says, is that number healthy? Because we know that when it comes to blood pressure, the level of clinical significance doesn't start until 140 over 90. Extremely high level of blood pressure. Tremendous damage going on in the vascular system. A healthy level of blood pressure is 120 over 80 or lower. So when you get a number, how's my blood pressure, doc? Oh, it's fine, it's normal. No, no, no. What are the numbers? What are the numbers? Well, it's 132 over 86. Doc, is that healthy or should it be better? Engage the doctor in that way, because I think your doctor will respond to you if your doctor suggests that you give a darn. You know, if your doctor knows, hey, I've got a patient here who cares about these issues. I've got a patient here who wants to be healthy. Why don't I interact with them in that way? Because most of us really don't want that information. We really just want to be patted on the head like a child and said, you're fine. Go away and don't worry about
it. You think physicians feel that way? Do you think we always talk about how frustrated we are with our physicians. Do you think physicians are frustrated with their patients?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I know I've got a lot of docs who are friends, and you know, you've got to figure that most physicians have had so much experience with their patients in which they know, here's John Smith. He really needs to lose weight. He's sprinting toward type 2 diabetes. At the very least, right now, he's pre-diabetic. He's got metabolic syndrome. If he doesn't turn this around, he's going to be a disaster. However, in the back of the doctor's mind is, I could sit here with John till I'm blue in the face, but the probability of him beginning to take a brisk walk every day, deleting certain bad foods from his diet and adding good foods, and actually losing body fat, the odds of him doing that are pretty similar to him getting hit by a red, white, and blue meteorite on the 4th of July. So why bother?
Right.
You know, why bother? Why raise it? Why get into that, you know, because he's not going to bother. At the most, say, well, John, you know, I'm still concerned about your weight. You ought to get some weight off. Why don't you go over to the gym? Why don't you consult with a dietitian or whatever? And Jim shrugs. And the irony is, Carl, is there's been a lot of research that demonstrates that people will respond to strong statements by their doctor.
Really?
In other words, if the doctor says, look, I'm very concerned about you. You need to lose weight and lose weight now. Next time I see you next year, I want you to be 20 pounds lighter. And I don't want you to lose it in the last 2 weeks before you come in here.
Right, right.
You know, I want you to lose it in the right way, gradually. But I want 20 pounds off you. You know, things like that tend to resonate with the patient.
I ask this question to every physician that comes on the show. Would you see a physician who appears to be in ill health? Like, in other words, I've been to doctors with my parents. My father's physician is clearly obese. He looks like he lacks energy. He looks befuddled most of the time. He doesn't look healthy to me. So, If I wanted to find a good mechanic, I definitely wouldn't want to do business with a mechanic who's never shows up for work because his car's always broken down. That tells me something, right? Do I want to see a physician? When I look at him, I think, gee, I hope I don't look like this guy. I hope I don't end up like this guy. And he's the one that's treating me.
Yep.
What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's golden. I mean, obviously that, but you know, again, I've heard people joke about that.
My doctor will die before I do.
Yeah, my doctor died before I do, or how could my doctor get on me about my weight or my blood pressure or whatever, because look at him, he's 100 pounds overweight, his blood pressure is probably off the charts. So instead of turning that around and saying, poor him, he's in bad shape, he's going to die way before his time, and that's a shame, you know, we tend to bring it back to ourselves with, well, that shields me from getting too much crap from him because he can't really spew it out because he's vulnerable.
He's not walking the walk himself.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Listen, Brian, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure, Carl, anytime.
Okay. All right, thanks so much.
You take care.
All right, so there you have it. And obviously, Dr. Stanford and I agree about these situations. I love the fact that he was willing to say, you know, we've had lots of physicians on this show that would not say they would avoid a doctor who looks unhealthy. I commend him. A lot of respect. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Jim Dugan on. We're going to be talking about firefighters. What is their responsibility to staying healthy, strong? Do you want a firefighter coming up a ladder after you that looks like you may have to carry him down? Or worse, you'd rather take your chances with the fire? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance. And it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical. But it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once and you'll buy it again and again. veryintensepleasure.com. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience of being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often, our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA-free. Go to forsportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com. Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, by N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My next guest is a world-class powerlifter, drug-free career powerlifter, does strongman events, and he is also a first responder in New York City. He is a fireman, firefighter. His name is Jim Dugan. How you doing, Jim?
Very good. How you been today?
Good, good. First of all, let's you were introduced to me by Brooks Kubik. Brooks knows a lot of strong people. He told me that you are a competitive power lifter, amazingly strong guy. Let's talk a little bit about your career and achievements as a powerlifter first. How long have you been powerlifting?
I started powerlifting actually a long time ago, back in 1985.
Okay.
I was 21 years old.
Okay. So in 1985, you started powerlifting. So you've been, how old are you now? You mind saying?
I just turned 47 2 weeks ago.
Cool. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Okay. So you've been powerlifting for 20 years, right? I'm trying to do the math real quick. 20 something years. How far have you come? How far have you come?
Well, my best squat ever was 650. My best bench press of all time was 505. And that was done without a shirt, by the way.
No shirt. Okay.
And my best deadlift was 688.
Wow, that's a respectable deadlift right there. Okay, so you also do some strongman stuff, but you like to mix it up and kind of add strongman / cardio work, Brooks told me.
Yeah, well, I did a few strongman contests, in New York, in Pennsylvania. And then just as a way of mixing a little variety into my training, I incorporated that into some cardio work. I was doing high reps for a while, and then I started doing some cardio work using, a weighted vest. I would walk for like distance with a weighted vest, and I would do other things.
Wait, is it true that like Coach Dan John, you would carry stones and stuff like that?
I wasn't carrying stones, but I would lift them. I have I have several stones that I purchased over the years. Those granite stones that you see on the strongman contest.
Yeah, the big round ones, right?
Those big round ones, yeah. And I have several, and I would do them for reps in my backyard.
Wow. Wow, your neighbors think you're crazy, I bet, right?
I try to do it like at night or something like that so they don't see me.
What the hell's he doing out there?
Well, what's scary now is if I wear my weighted vest, I kind of worry about that because it looks like a
bulletproof vest.
No, it looks like a bomb.
Oh, yeah, because it's got the pouches. It's got the pouches.
Yeah, it looks like a homemade explosive device, so...
You know what? Come to think of it, I bet you those are the vests they buy, and then they just replace the weights with the plastic explosives.
Could be. I don't want to encourage anybody out there, but it could be that.
No. But anyway, so yeah, I can see that. So you're a strong guy. You've been a strong guy for a long time. How long have you been a firefighter?
I've been in the New York City Fire Department for 17 years.
17 years. Okay. Yes. All right. So you started out powerlifting before you became a firefighter, but you obviously didn't give it up once you became a firefighter. Do you feel that being strong, and also we'll talk more about the type of cardio stuff you like to do, but being cardiovascularly strong as well benefits you as a firefighter?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it.
Have you ever been in a situation in a burning building or rescuing somebody where you were able to achieve something because of your physical strength and conditioning that perhaps one of your team members would not have been able to do it?
Well, I can't specifically remember something like that ever happening, but you do need to have a lot of conditioning, depending on what type of response. It doesn't necessarily have to be a fire. You might be called to climb 20 flights of stairs with all your gear on just for something as simple as like a stuck elevator, get something out of a stuck elevator.
Right. You know, I was on the stair mill the other day with Elisa Profumo, who co-hosts Casual Friday with me. And we were on the stair mill, and we're going to town on it. You know, I mean, she's kicking up the pace and making me kick up the pace, and we're like very competitive. And I said to her, did you know that there were people who perished in the Twin Towers simply because they didn't have the ability to walk down all of the stairs they would have had to walk down in order to get out of the building? In other words, time presented an opportunity for them to go down. Okay, granted, hundreds of flights of stairs, but they couldn't even fathom the idea of attempting it because they were in such poor shape. That's a sin. That's a sin.
Well, a lot of other things happen too, but one thing you got to realize is that, and I noticed this too, is that when I go to the gym, I use a Stairmaster, and I do it, a couple times a week. It's nothing like having to do it for real.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just totally different. And
Because you on a Stairmaster, you can slow down, or a step mill, you can slow down and ride the step down as opposed to pushing your weight up.
Yeah, if it gets really, really fast, I just press a button and reduce the speed. You can't do that in real life.
Right, right. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the obligations of a firefighter before we go into our first break. Firefighters are really required to put their lives in harm's way just about every time they respond to a call. And I see both in the firefighter world as well as the law enforcement world that just like the rest of the population is getting fatter and fatter and fatter, we have these individuals who are really starting to put on weight. And a lot of times I wonder if they're even able to do the job without hurting themselves. Now, I'm not asking you to speak about that specifically, but what I am asking you to speak about is, do you feel that law enforcement, firefighters, we'll say them both together, that there's an obligation for these guys to stay in good cardiovascular shape and conditioning?
I certainly do, and I think guys realize that. I can just tell you that I'm a third generation fireman, by the way. My grandfather was a fireman, my father was a fireman. I remember going, my father would take me to the firehouse, and guys would be sitting around, eating, donuts. They almost everybody smoked back then.
Right.
A typical meal would be like hamburgers and French fries. Nowadays, it's quite different. Very, very, very few people smoke. Almost everybody engages in some sort of workout, some sort of training. It's not like it was, 20, 30 years ago.
Back in the day.
Almost everybody works out now because it's so much harder now with the gear that we're required to wear.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. I mean, you're wearing, a lot more equipment. How heavy is all that equipment once you're all in full uniform?
Well, the gear itself is over 50 pounds, and then you're also carrying tools that weigh another 20, 25 pounds. And also, too, is the gear itself is very, again, it's called bunker gear, and it's very very good at protecting you from burns. But the qualities that make it good for protecting you from getting burned makes it very hard to wear. It's very encapsulating. Your body, when you generate heat from moving and exercising, moving around, there's no way for that heat to go. It's trapped inside. And that's why you really have to be in good shape. And that's why guys work out so much more now than they used to.
Do a lot of the firehouses now have gyms inside them?
Almost everyone does. And some of them are quite good. I don't know of any firehouse that does not have training equipment. And the guys do a good job furnishing it. The guys pay for it themselves. It's not provided by the
really?
The job. Yeah. But the guys do a very good job of providing for themselves and getting good equipment. And they do take it. The guys do take it seriously. The guys work out almost every day.
All right, look, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I got lots of questions for you. We're talking with Jim Duggan. Jim, do you have anything you're promoting? You just came on the show to talk, I know, but do you have a website or anything like that?
No, I don't have I'm lucky I can navigate through a website. I don't have my own.
All right, well, stay tuned. We're going to be talking more with Jim Duggan. We'll be right back. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and TestCharge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only TestCharge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in TestCharge. TestCharge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in TestCharge. TestCharge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% 10% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best price and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I'm actually eating a Quest protein bar during the break. They've got some great new flavors that I'm very excited about. Apple pie, 18 grams of fiber, no sugar alcohols, good stuff, very, very low carb, 20 grams of high quality whey protein. You can't beat the Quest protein bars, period. Get 2 free Quest protein bars by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Quest protein bar banner ad today. Okay, we're talking with Jim Duggan. He is a champion powerlifter. He is career drug-free, like my good friend Coach Wade Johnson, and he is a firefighter as well. And we're talking about bridging that. Okay, so how do you bridge it? You have to train pretty hard to stay in the trenches with being a powerlifter. Does being a firefighter give you unique opportunity to train more consistently, you think?
Well, I try to train consistently. I mean, I try to train every day. I mean, obviously I'm not going to lift 7 days a week, but even if it's something as little as doing 30 minutes on a treadmill and 50 sit-ups, I try to, you know, work out and do some sort of exercise every day. But I lift like 2 to 3 days a week, and so, I have time to do that.
Now you lift 2 to 3 days a week. That doesn't sound like a lot of lifting. Do you lift 2 to 3 days a week because of your schedule or because that's what you get the best progress out of?
I get the best progress with that. I try to train my body. I train my entire body in each workout. I don't believe in like separating like chest one day and arms another day. You know, I train the entire body because the body is meant to be used, you know, as a whole.
Right.
And, you know, if I'm fighting a fire, I'm not just using my arms that day, my chest. I'm using my entire body.
Right. Do you use any special methods like Louis Simmons's conjugated method or anything like that?
No, I don't use any of his stuff. I really don't know him, but I've never used any of his stuff. I trained at Iron Island Gym, and I follow a lot of the principles that Dr. Ken Leisner advocated, and I've trained, with him, Drew Israel, Brooks Kubik, with his dinosaur training.
Sure,
was a tremendous influence. His books, his writing, is and you know this. It's his books are absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, there's no, he's a one of a kind. Brooks is a one of a kind.
And I think dinosaur training, it's probably something that many, you know, cops, firefighters, you know, military personnel, that would be a great way of training for these people.
Yeah, yeah. But the problem is a lot of guys don't get the message how important it is to train hard and heavy. Do you go for max lifts every time you train?
No, not at all. In fact, most of the time, I just try to do quality work. I mean, I'll try to do, you know, sets of whether it's six or, you know, like 10 reps. A couple of years ago, I was on a high rep kick, and I think it was about 3 years ago, I did, I used the hammer leg press. I wanted to see, you know, what I can do. I put 200 pounds on it, and I did 225 reps.
225?
Yes.
Now, the hammer leg press is the one that cantilevers down, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's
so
not
so
like
it actually
that
hits your hamstrings just as hard as it does your quads.
Yeah, it's not like what you find in the gym with the sled.
Yeah.
That, you know, the typical geriatric patient can do like 400 pounds on it, but it's a quality machine.
Yeah, the problem I've had with the hammer leg press machine is when you start getting up into higher weights, it wants to push you out of the seat. Have you found that?
Push you out and
yeah,
up.
Like
yes.
push you out. Yeah, push you up and wants to like shoot you out. You know what I mean? It's and the one that I tried didn't have any way to strap me in, and I found that I ended up having to shift my attention from just doing the leg press to keeping myself in the seat at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, I noticed that too. I mean, otherwise, it's a great piece of equipment, but yeah, when you get heavier and heavier. It feels weird, to, you know.
Now, so you like to do a lot of weighted cardio, huh?
I was for a while, and I still do every once in a while. Like every day, if I get a chance, I mean, I prefer to walk, and I'll walk with either my vest on, or a lot of times I have a.
How heavy is your vest, Jib, when you're walking?
My vest is 84 pounds.
Wow, that's heavy.
So I don't do that all the time. But a lot of times I have a length of chain that I bought from a hardware store. It weighs about 15 pounds, and I'll wrap that around my neck. And talk about getting strange looks from people.
Yeah,
try walking around the neighborhood with a chain around your neck
and a weighted vest on.
Well,
you know what you got to do as when you walk past the Mercedes, you got to yank the emblem off the front and then just hang it from the chain, and then you'll look okay. You just need a medallion. That's all.
Well, you know, I never thought about that.
Now, to become a firefighter today, is it harder to become a firefighter today than it was for, like, your dad? Do you have to pass a more rigorous physical test?
Well, I think it's the physical has changed because I think back then, I think the emphasis was more on, like, brute strength. I believe they had to be able to press a certain amount of weight overhead. And now they incorporate, like, movements that actually mimic some of the duties you're going to be asked to perform as a fireman. You know, you're going to be actually like wearing gear. You'll be swinging or pulling hose, that sort of thing. And it's a lot of it is cardiovascular, and they try to stress that because I think they found out that heart attacks is like the number one killer of firefighters. And so they stress now, and you know, like I mentioned before, everybody works out now. They stress, guys, you know, the importance of staying in shape and working out, especially doing, like, cardio work. I mean, you don't have to be a marathon runner, you know, to be a firefighter or a cop, but you do have to have some, you know, above-average aerobic capacity.
Why do you think heart attacks are the number one killer of firefighters? You think it's the stress of the job, or you think there's something else going on? If you had a guess.
Well, it's the stress. It's the physical stress. It's the mental stress. You can wake up at, like, 3 in the morning from a sound sleep. And you're going from 0 to 60, and you're putting your gear on, and you're responding to. You don't know what you're responding to. You could be a fire, and you're hearing reports over the radio that people are trapped, and now your wheels are spinning 100 miles an hour. You just went from a sound sleep, and now within 4 minutes you're going to be crawling into a burning building, not knowing what's going on.
So, now what neighborhood do you work in?
I'm assigned. I'm a covering captain. I'm assigned to a. An area in Brooklyn. It's the 15th Division. Any 15th Division guys out there? Hello?
There you go.
But it's in Brooklyn. It covers East New York, Bushwick, Brownsville, Flatbush.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a wide variety of buildings. I mean, some you can have buildings as high as 20 stories.
Yeah, I was going to say. And sometimes the abandoned buildings are the worst ones to have to deal with.
A lot of times they're the most dangerous because they're neglected, yes.
You know something I just thought of? I haven't thought of it since I was a kid. I'm a little bit older than you. I just turned 53. I grew up in Bed-Stuy on Walworth Street, between Bedford and Nostrand on Myrtle Avenue. And on the other side of Myrtle Avenue, like I was between Myrtle and Park, but then the other side of Myrtle Avenue, on the right-hand side was Miller's Meat Packing Plant, where they used to make a lot of pork products. And then across the street from that, on the opposite corner, was a Hebrew school. And it was one of the worst fires in New York. I remember it when I was a kid. But the Hebrew school caught fire. And not a lot of kids perished, but two firefighters perished. Because those old grading, they used to put these back in the day, and you probably still see them on some of the brownstones that haven't been updated. But they used to put those metal gratings on the outside of the window as a security measure so the kids wouldn't come out the windows. And they were ornate. They were like heavy metal wrought iron with points at the bottom.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
And what happened was those grates broke away from the wall, you know, because of the bolts that were holding it into the concrete, and they just fell straight down. And these poor guys are climbing up ladders going up there to those windows. And it was a tragedy. It was a very, very terrible situation. But I haven't thought about that since I was a kid. I remember standing there watching it as a kid. It was so traumatic to watch, too.
Yeah, well, you know, it's you never know what can happen. Anything can happen. I mean, and bad things can happen to good people.
Yeah, it's terrible. All right, listen, Jim, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up talking with Jim Duggan about combining the feats of being a strong man, a powerlifter, with being a hero as a firefighter. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Knowing what was in your heart when it
stopped going, the whole world shook. There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all. There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Branch chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The 3 amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at trueprotein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs. If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no carb food, and Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Mike Mahler is one of the most sought after teachers in the world of kettlebell training. Whether your goal is greater strength, speed, mental toughness, or fat loss, you'll come away with newfound knowledge. His seminars play to sold out crowds. Now you can attend one of the most exciting exciting, life-changing strength and conditioning seminars in the world. Seminars are scheduled for Denver, Tacoma, Washington, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Hawaii, and Miami. These will not be repeat engagements, so don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Go to MikeMahler.com today and book your seat. That's Mike, M-A-H-L-E-R.com. Space is very limited. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Jim Duggan, firefighter and powerlifter. I think that's the right order to go in, right? Firefighter first, powerlifter second, Jim?
Yes.
Obviously, you said your father, your grandfather, this is a family career here. That's the way it is in New York. I have some cousins that the grandfather and the father, and now two of the boys, were both all cops. And my brother-in-law, John Finnegan, his grandfather was a cop. I actually saw his dress uniform, his grandfather's dress uniform and dress club. And then my brother-in-law was a cop at the 32nd Precinct for a long time. Now he lives out in Phoenix. Got out of there, luckily for him. Anyway, do they have any kind of games, competitions inside the fire department to help promote the physical culture, lifestyle? You know, maybe they get one firehouse competes against another firehouse in something, you know, anything like that?
Well, the firehouses are very competitive with each other, especially companies that are within, like, the same battalion or division. But, I mean, there are softball leagues, hockey leagues, pretty much like every sport. And also coming up in a few weeks is the World Police and Fire Games coming up.
Really?
Different events.
Now,
yes.
What kind of events will you find in the World Police and Fire Leagues?
Pretty much what the same events you'll find at the Olympics or the Pan Am Games.
So will there be Olympic lifting there?
I don't think it's going to be Olympic lifting, but I think there'll be powerlifting.
Oh, dude, I bet you're excited about that, huh?
Well, I look forward to seeing it. I'm not going to compete in it, but I look forward to watching it. Yeah.
So you're not going to compete in it. I got to believe there's some big, strong guys in the fire department. Other powerlifters that are friends of yours?
Firefighters come in all shapes and sizes, and some really big, powerful guys. They're world-class runners. I happen to work with a guy who's like a couple of steps below being like a world-class marathon runner.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, very, very cool. How come you're not going to compete? You feel like you're too old?
I'm getting too old for that stuff.
But, really?
You know, I still enjoy training and, lifting.
Right.
But, you know, putting the suit on and the shirt and all the other, that's one of the reasons I stopped doing competitive powerlifting was all the gear and the shirts and everything else. I didn't care for it.
But there are raw divisions in powerlifting, obviously. You've lifted.
Some federations do have raw divisions, yes. Some of them do, yeah.
What would you say to a kid out there who thinks he wants to be a firefighter, and maybe he doesn't appreciate the importance of getting in really, really great shape, almost like an athlete would, looking at the business of firefighting as an athlete?
Well, it's something I can literally say, you know, mean the difference between, surviving and not surviving. I've seen a lot of guys, you know, develop health problems over the years, and it's, you know, just working and not doing anything, you know, extraordinary, just going to work for 20 years or 25 years. It takes a toll on your body, and you have to stay in shape. And it's just, you know, not even talking about going into, like, a burning building. I'm just going to work every day for 20, 25 years. It takes a toll.
Yeah. I have a friend named Randy. He's a police officer here in Louisville. He's a big, strong dude. Gets into the gym all the time. Lifts. Very, very powerful guy. And I was talking to him the other day, and I said, you know, I see some police officers in Jefferson County here in Kentucky. I saw a guy the other day, and I'm not joking when I say this, Jim. You know when somebody's so fat they have to fall back into their car seat? You know what I'm talking about. You're laughing. You
yeah.
Know okay.
No, I've seen guys. Yeah, yeah.
This cop was pulling up in front of a beer and wine home brewing store, like where you buy your materials to like make your own beer at home and your own wine at home. He went in. When he came out, he opened the cruiser door. He turned his ass towards the seat. He held on to the door, and he fell backwards into the seat. And the car went boom. I mean, it was like, and I thought to myself, this guy's going to get out of that car, and he's going to chase somebody 5 blocks? No way. No way. The guy couldn't even get out of the car without huffing and puffing.
Well, a guy like that, he's not going to inspire confidence in people, you know, the people who rely on him to do his job.
So is it politically incorrect? I mean, you're a captain, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is it politically incorrect for you to go up to a team member and say, look, you know, I've watched you for the past few years. You're sliding down the slippery slope. You're in bad shape. You're either going to hurt yourself or somebody that you're going to try to help. You got to do something about this. Or do you end up in a lawsuit if you do something like that?
Well, nowadays you can get sued for just about anything, especially here in New York. But I've never really had to deal with something like that. I've never seen something like the cop you just described. But if you saw somebody that fat and he looks like he's going to like run out of skin, I guess you're going to have some sort of intervention, right?
out of skin. I love that. I never heard that before. That's a good one.
Yeah, but, I like. You know, it. You're going to have to do something, I guess, just for his own. For his own health, but I've never seen that. Most of the, just about every guy I've worked with, and I'm not exaggerating, is they take care of themselves because they realize it's the job we do is serious and it's dead serious.
Now I know that you are a career drug free lifter, and I know and Brooks
yes.
gave me the whole lowdown on you, so I'm going to ask you this question just out of interest of your own opinion. Jobs like firemen and police officers, in my humble opinion, should have the strongest, most alert individuals given every opportunity to be the strongest, most alert individuals on the job because they are life and death jobs. No one does. And thank God people are willing to do it. I think that both you and police officers don't get paid enough for the job. Where do you stand with anabolic steroids? Every now and then you'll hear a police officer in Jersey got popped because he failed a drug test, blah, blah, blah. Where do you stand on anabolic steroids? I mean, I'm not talking about in competition. I'm not talking about, you know, Ben Johnson running the 40. I'm talking about guys who are on the job using to stay strong, stay alert, stay at the top of their game.
Well, personally, I mean, I don't believe in it. I don't think it should be it shouldn't be allowed. I mean, there are, you know, we have policies in place that prevent that. You know, it's prohibited, but. I would tell anybody, I mean, whether it's on the job or lifting, I don't believe in it. I think it's wrong. And it's, if you're competing, you're cheating, basically. And, there should be testing. There should be testing at every level. And somebody who's trying to become, a cop or a fireman, I would do everything I can to discourage them from doing it because you can do it naturally. It is possible.
Right. All right, well, listen, Jim, you have nothing to plug. This is a rarity. I very rarely have somebody on the show who doesn't have something to plug.
Sorry.
That's
maybe
okay.
Next time.
But you know what? We'll plug the, what is it called? The International Firemen's and Police Officers World Games?
The World Police Firefighter Games.
Where will that be held?
It's going to be held in various venues in New York City, as a matter of fact, coming up in a few weeks.
So there you go. I know we have a lot of police officers that listen to the show. If any of you are competing, I'd love to hear from you. We'd like to give you some publicity on the show. Jim, thanks so much for being on the show today, man.
Carl, it was my pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Good deal. All right. All right, stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll wrap up the show. Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks.
The new, quieter Urethane Series Power Blocks with FlexFin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal patch. Stage one releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage two is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Well, I really don't have a whole lot to add to today's show. Probably going to end early here by a few minutes. But we do have an amazing show planned for you tomorrow. Lisa is plugging away some great content. I feel very strongly about a couple rants about some of these things that we're talking about tomorrow. I'm not going to be able to help myself, to be honest with you. Even if I didn't want to rant, I'm going to have to. The level of nutritional idiocy out there is just astonishing to me. I was in the sauna after training today. I have been to the gym every day that I'm supposed to go. I'm training hard. I'm getting stronger. I feel so good now that I'm getting into the gym with regularity. I train first thing in the morning. I am training fasted and surprisingly strong, much stronger than I thought it would, considering that I'm fasted when I'm training. And then after I train, I try to spend at least 20 minutes in a 150-degree sauna, and then I jump into an ice-cold shower. It makes me gasp for air, catch my breath. But I was talking today to a couple guys that were in the sauna, a couple guys that I see in there all the time. One of them is a retired military. He just came back from London. He said, "Carl, I was in London for 2.5 weeks. I tried my hardest to find obese people." He said, "Every place I looked, I couldn't find any signs of obesity there." I forget where he said, what part of, he was in the suburbs, he said. He said they traveled, they went sightseeing, they went around. He says, "I know that some of these other people that I saw were not from England. There were tourists from other parts of Europe." He said, I think I saw two people the whole time I was there for 2.5 weeks, two people who I would classify as obese. He said, it is so much different there than it is here in the United States. I says, I know. The people in Europe walk 10 times more distance than we do here in the United States. Here in the United States, you jump in your car. I'll give you an example. In the United States, you can drive your car to, I don't know, a shopping center. And maybe there's two or three stores in that shopping center you want to hit. People will actually get in their car and move from one part of the parking lot to another, as opposed to just parking their car and walking throughout the shopping center to do the things that they have to. No, they'll take their car and they'll move it 250 feet closer to that store. And then when they're done there, get in their car and drive 250 feet over closer to that store. I mean, it's absurd here. It's absurd. And it would just take people being a little bit more physically active. The other thing that we talked about this morning in the sauna is the fact that women are bombarded with the wrong message so consistently, and that it's confusing and frustrating for them. Why can't I lose weight? I'm eating healthy. Until women get the idea, I mean, Dr. Cassandra Forsythe Probanik's book says it the best, lift like a man, look like a goddess. Until women understand and embrace the concept of building muscle, they will always do battle with their weight. Always. Until women get the concept that muscle is their friend, it will not make them look like a man, but muscle is their friend, they will always battle weight gain. If you think you're thin, but you can't see the veins in your arms or lower legs, you're probably over 20% body fat. I'm gonna go on the limb and say that to those women out there who quote unquote eat healthy and do cardio constantly and avoid the weights, you will always battle weight gains until you embrace the fact that muscle is your friend. Thanks for listening to Superhuman Radio today. We'll see you tomorrow with Casual Friday. Don't miss it. It's going to be a great show. I got a lot of rants coming on tomorrow. We'll see you then.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
The Isolator will change the way you work out forever. We've all imagined how it would be if there was an apparatus that would eliminate the hands, forearms, biceps, and triceps from training chest, back, and shoulder muscles. Well, now you can with the Isolator. The Isolator does exactly what it says. It allows you to isolate muscles to get a better, more intense workout. And they're so versatile, they work with machines or free weights. You have to see the Isolator to believe it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Isolator Fitness banner ad today. The Isolator, the only way to train.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.